I'm a man of constants. I have slaughtered it.
Constant sorrow all through his days.
I
am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen trouble all my
days. You guys need a karaoke machine.
Yes, we do.
I think that's actually
listening.
Lyrics.
Sorrow.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, Final Frontier Games, bringing friends and families closer together, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are Prognosticators Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, seriously, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Apprentice Dan,
Tina,
and Ryan Pills
in the house.
Oh, we need to get...
Okay, so is it Tina the Apprentice?
The intern.
Sorry. Dan. We got Apprentice Dan.
Right.
Intern Tina? Or Tina the intern.
I like Tina the intern.
Tina the intern. Tina the intern. All right, so we're ready for next week's episode. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another episode. Wow. We're glad to have you in the States and in town tonight. We played a bunch of games this evening, as always, and we've got plenty to talk about. We've also got some live episodes that you probably just missed because I think they were this past Saturday and this is airing on Monday, so go check some of those out. And one of those,
we announced that Tina is our new intern.
Yep, that was last week's, right? So that one should be live. That was a Tantrum Talks. And if you are curious about Tina and her secret life of board gaming, be sure to check out that YouTube video. It's a secret life. Well, cool. What board games did you guys manage to get onto the table tonight and or this week? Anything super cool? Nope.
5-minute mystery.
Yeah, that was super cool. That's a Kickstarter that's coming very soon. I'm sure we'll be talking about that on a future episode, but it's
like
in that
next
same...
week.
Next week. It's in that same line of games as 5-Minute Marvel and 5-Minute Dungeon. And this is a new mystery edition, which we'll have to tell you all about next week. I got to play not Gorius, as I have previously and misspokenly been saying, but Gorius Maximus.
Right. Gorius Maximus.
I shouldn't admit that I really love the art style for it because that just makes me seem gruesome and creepy, but
I love it.
Dan, thanks for teaching us.
Yeah,
give us the rundown. How do you play?
Gorius Maximus, it's a trick-taking game. So many of you have probably grown up playing this kind of thing with face cards, but you've got your lead suit. Whoever plays first kind of sets that suit, and everyone has to follow that suit unless you can challenge by playing the same number as the previous card. So when you do that, you then set trump. So like if Will plays blue 6 and I play a green 6, well, now green is trump until somebody else challenges at some point later in the game. So you have to follow what's played. And then, you know, if you can dump something in there for negative points and hurt somebody else, they take the trick. And ultimately, at the end of a round, whoever has the most points gets the crowd's favor. So they get a point for that. And then whoever gets to 3 points first total wins.
And one of the cool things in the game is that when you're winning the points, it's not necessarily every card in the game is not worth a point. So you've got those special coins that are going to actually give you the most points. And then you've also got the 0 card, which is pretty interesting. It is worth 5 points at the end of the game if it's the trump color. But if it is not, then it's worth 0. So that was like the game turner for at least one of my hands.
I think the game turner was when you played an 8, and an 8 is -4 points, so it really hammers you. And then I was like, oh, cool, I can challenge him. And so I challenged him with an 8, which then made negative 8 points.
And he won.
But because I made my card trump, I then won.
Yeah, that was a great
But really
move.
Lost.
I super appreciated that specific trick. That was
I think
very
I finished with negative 10 points for that particular round.
And I think, as is standard for Katie, who was also playing with us, she walked away the trick-taking champion. That's pretty much her go-to win-every-time skill set. She is hanging out with Farron by Katie. What games did Ryan and not Katie get to play tonight?
We got to play Tortuga 2199. It was a lot of fun.
That's a Kickstarter that will be coming this next year, quarter one, from Gray Fox Games.
Yeah, it was a pretty simple game, actually, once you get into it. There's only, like, two basic symbols to the game. One gives you, like, credits, and the other one is your action symbols. And then you just decide how you use those up. But it took me a while to actually grasp what was going on. And I was watching Melissa just rake in the points, and I was like, I got 3. You know, I don't know how to get more. I should probably figure that out.
I have a question. Do you guys know, did this company, did Gray Fox buy it from a company that's...
I think they must have. I think it was maybe developed some by either Jet something Games or Lavka Games. Over in Europe, okay, and then they are bringing it to Kickstarter here in the U.S. I'm not sure that it was originally published over there or not, but it was definitely developed over there.
It's a pretty cool one. It's a deck builder and area control together, and so you are using your cards to get those two symbols, but then you're flying around all these different sectors in space trying to have area control over those individual sectors.
I was going to talk about a different game.
Oh, okay. Melissa looked like she was going to jump in, and I was like, I'll let you explain.
She's just ready to continue on.
Oh, I gotcha.
I was going to say that we have continued in our Clank Legacy campaign. So now we are 3 games in, and we're unlocking a lot of things and stickering things on the board and tearing up lots of cards. Ooh. And adding new things to our decks and kind of building up our characters in Clank. So yeah. I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah, I wish there was a way to get the game ramped up faster. I think game one felt so similar to Clank. I was like, is this what this is? But it's basically, once you get into game 2 and 3, you definitely feel a lot of the changes happening. So I'm excited to see what the rest of the campaign will bring, which is up to 10 games. So.
Yes, and I must admit that I'm kind of distracted by, ooh, if I go to that space, I get to read something in the book. And I end up doing that instead of going and getting the points that I'm supposed to get.
The Book of Secrets.
Ooh, spoiler. I think that most of the Legacy games that I've played, you do have to pretty much play the first round of the game like the normal game.
Why?
I don't know, but that's just the best practice in everything that I've seen. Because I think it's for people who have never played the game, and
but
this
it says
is their
in
first
the rulebook,
time
if you've
playing
never
it.
Played Clank, it says go play Clank first and then play this game. That's what it says in the rulebook.
Well, that's a good sales pitch. I would say that too. Go buy this other one. Try it out. Dan, how far are you in Machikoro? Any further?
Yes, we are on. We just finished game 9, so we have the final game. We'll probably play this week, and then we can start working on a video for that.
But different than the game, the Clank Legacy, this Machikoro Legacy, there's not a lot of ripping up of things.
Right, yeah. They actually tell you anything that is not really going to be used after the campaign, they just kind of tell you to set aside, but you know, whether you tear it up or not, it doesn't matter. You're not.
It's all dependent on whether you're OCD or not.
Right. It really doesn't play into the feeling, I guess, of the campaign. Some games, I feel like Pandemic played into that, where it's like your character dies or you know, whatever. Is it really a spoiler when or however many years pass?
I'm just going to keep saying it every time.
So yeah, it's been nice in that, you know, you really get to the end of your campaign and you have a fully playable game, and it feels like there are ways you can kind of maybe mix or match different things that you unlock through the game. So you have kind of a unique experience every time you play.
Melissa and I played one of the hot games from the Essen Spiel Fair. It's a Wonderful World by Lucky Duck Games.
I heard people talking about it. What'd you guys think?
We actually played a prototype of it at Dice Tower Con.
Yes, we played a couple rounds at Dice Tower Con, and then we have a copy of the game now, and we have played it. We played a 3-player game. It is a card drafting, engine building type game. I think I enjoy it more than Seven Wonders.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Do you enjoy it more than Hedara?
Oh, I like both of those. I don't know. Mm. That would be a hard mix right there. I think it's maybe not as complex as Hadar.
No. It's really simple because on your turn, you have a hand of like, you know, start with a hand of seven cards, and you're basically each round going to be drafting those around the table, getting either resources or hopefully putting those in front of you to pay resources to basically build the cards.
Right. One of the things I like about it is during the production phase, different buildings, they always activate in a certain order. So you can get the resources from a building that activates earlier in the order to then build something that will activate later. So you can combine those, combo them to get more done in a single round.
Did anybody go to the boardwalk event on Saturday?
We did.
Who was all there? Will, Sarah,
and Tina,
and Tina the intern.
Yes.
Awesome. Tina, when you're doing something or acknowledging something, it helps if you say something and not raising your hand.
I was watching.
She was there. She raised it. Yeah, we know she was there. Yeah, it was intern pretty neat. They...
Uh-oh, the apprentice is now
the master.
Our local board game store, Boardwalk, had an unpub day this past weekend and invited us out to come and just hang out and see what kind of stuff they had going on. There were really only two unpublishers, do you call them that, there, but they had a couple of different prototypes that they were showing off, and one of them my kid fell in love with. The game was called Hacked, and it was kind of a Stratego chess. It actually kind of reminded me of the Taktiki game that we reviewed a little while back, except for it was very simple with just dice, and you had four dice on your turn, and you were about eight spaces away from each other, and you could flip your dice one roll forward, left, or right each turn, and then as you came head-to-head with another die in the line, whoever had the higher die would win in the battle. The other guy's die would get removed, and then if you could make it all the way across the board first, you won the round, and it was a... computer 1990s computer theme with the game. So if you made it to the other side of the board, you got to cause one of the other guy's network computers to have a blue screen of death, which was kind of funny. And then you also had some hacking you could do where you could manipulate, like rotate your die a different way. It was a very simple game, but Xander, our six-year-old, loved it. Like, he's literally asked me, can we buy that game, like five times since then. It's not even for sale, man. You can't buy it. But that was a pretty neat one. You guys played... What other one did we play?
We played a prototype of a game that is kind of based off of the Rise of Augustus mechanics. It's kind of a bingo set collection game where you have cards, except for it was themed about the primary election in South Carolina. So you had cards where you were, instead of filling out the different regions in Europe, you were... trying to win each one of the different counties in South Carolina. And then it actually, I felt, was like themed well. Like, there was the right number of delegate or points that you needed to get and votes. And the mechanic was very similarly based off of Rise of Augustus. So it played very cleanly and smoothly.
The problem with those types of games are they don't, like, appeal to a big audience.
There's not a
exactly.
market.
Yeah.
Which is why...
What's
happening?
Time for our intern versus intern game I just made up.
Intern versus apprentice now?
Oh, yeah. You gotta have to change the title. All right, so we're going to immediately interrupt whatever we were talking about, and since Dan is all, like... all of in her grill. we're going to duke it out with a little bit of how well do you know the Tantrum House crew intern / apprentice trivia. So
how does this work?
I'm going to read a question. Dan's going to lose. I'm going to read a question. You are going to not raise your hand. You're going to say eh, or something.
That's dumb.
So that we know, that we know who buzzed in.
Maybe they can just do a ding.
A ding. Give me a ding. And then you'll get the opportunity to answer the question. If you get it correctly, someone else will keep score and tell you if you won.
All right, Ryan's going to keep score. He's got his iPad up.
All right, here we go. These are how well do you know the Tantrum House crew questions. Question number one. What is Will's favorite party board game? Ding. Anybody? No?
Wow.
Melissa knows it. Kevin knows it.
I know it.
Come on. This was the easy one, so now I'm nervous.
This was the easy one? Yeah. Oh, wait. Ding.
Ding. Ding with the ding.
Call of Cthulhu?
Ooh. Cthulhu for half point.
Cthulhu Deluxe.
Deluxe is also part of it. Oh, half point to each team member. Oh. Don't mess with Cthulhu.
Sorry, I just ruined your shelf I was pulling it out. To
what
show
did
this.
You do?
I saw a massive pile of games knock over.
I was like, I'm going to get this to show them, but I'm only trying to sneak it over.
And half point for each. Oh, good. I like your scorekeeping method there. Good job, Ryan. All right.
Did you fix it?
Question number two. When is Farron's birthday?
Ding.
Oh,
ding.
Damn. But, oh, wait. But there was kind of a simultaneous ding.
Okay. What?
Dan's ding was louder. Does that count?
We have an actual ding.
I heard a ding in there. Tell us your
okay. Farron's birthday is 11/15, so November 15th.
Woo! How do you know that, Dan?
Because it's also my birthday.
Whoa!
Oh, this isn't a fair question.
We'll get to some Tina leaning questions soon. Question number three: Kevin's favorite sci-fi TV series. Is...
I know this.
Doctor Who?
Oh, that's Melissa. No, so close.
Okay. It's the one with the gate. Stargate.
But I feel like it was, again, a simultaneous answer.
Good job. Yeah, give them both a half point, Ryan.
Wait, hold on. She didn't even say the right thing.
She said Stargate at the same time you said
You said
Stargate.
It's a gate game.
Yeah, she said Stargate.
Stargate.
Yeah.
All right, here's one that no one knows. I do. Okay, and question number four. Melissa's favorite board game component.
Oh, you said this.
She did say this?
Yes.
I remember her saying
something about this.
It's really more of a general category.
Really?
Oh.
They're more on the crusty side.
I know. I wouldn't say component would be the right word.
Maybe I don't know this then.
Krusty Cubes was my answer for Moses. Yeah, I see I got a ding. All right. What
now
game?
Are we the only ones hearing the dings? Are we actually hearing? That's awesome.
Question number, whichever one we're on.
Number five.
Ryan has spent the most money on this game.
Ding.
I will also accept intellectual property.
I want to say like MechWarrior, BattleTech. I'm not sure.
That is correct.
Oh, right.
That is correct. Dan actually got a whole point.
Yes.
Good job. Question number, Sarah made this up and it's supposed to be about Sarah, but it's not. Which of Sarah's boys constantly wins tournaments of werewolf at conventions? So A, B, or C, Liam, Lincoln,
ding.
Or Xander?
Xander.
It is Xander.
Dan's on a roll.
Our youngest.
Harsh.
Quite frankly, beats adults in werewolf.
Question number nine. What is Tina's job title at work?
Does she know? Because I sure don't.
Ding in, Dan. Ding in. Tina, you're allowed to ding in too.
Yeah.
Okay, I can answer my own question.
Yeah.
No.
They call it very fancy project portfolio management.
Project portfolio manager?
Mm-hmm.
Manager. For 1 point. Good job. I'm assuming that's correct. I don't really know.
Yeah, what if she was lying?
I have a card if you want to check.
I'm going to prove it. Question number, last question. Ben grew up in what country?
Ding.
America? No.
No.
Better get it right, Dan.
I know.
No pressure.
It's down there. I'm going to go with Paraguay.
Oh,
okay.
All right. So Tina's got a little bit to learn, but you know, she's been here for a whole week. So I feel like good job. Total score. Dan had like 3.5.
4.5.
To 1.5. Not bad. All right. So about a year from now, we'll retake the same quiz and see who the
same
winner
exact quiz.
Somebody hold me to that. All right. Well, from here, let's roll into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode will be talking about 6 games coming to Kickstarter the week of November 18th. 2019.
Sarah?
I'm going to start us off. One game coming, I believe it is on November 19th, Tuesday, is Ducks in Tow. And this is a very fun, light-looking game from First Fish Games. And in the game, you are walking around the park and you are feeding the cute ducks, and they will start following you around the park. And so there are some ways to gain points by going to different locations in the park, and then also getting your ducks in a specific formation as you move around the board. This one has super fun artwork, and it's designed by Stephanie Kwok and illustrated by Andrew Bosley. And this one will be launching November 19th from First Fish Games. Kevin, what are you looking at?
On November 18th, Max Robbins is launching his game, Apidea. Apidea is actually a game or a term that is with the corresponds to the largest family within the super family, containing 5,700 species of
jellyfish,
bees.
Bees. And there's lots of bee games right now.
Yeah. Honey Buzz is on fire right now on Kickstarter. Anyway, Apidea is a light to medium, 2 to 6 player, asymmetric world exploring, worker placement, resource management, engine builder. You take control of a unique bee species because there's 57.
One of the.
You have one of the 5,700. I didn't even know there was that many species of bees, but that's crazy. And you're going to choose a unique hive location. You're going to build on it, and you're going to play through 3 seasons acting as the queen bee to harvest nectar, pollen, lay immature larvae, explore the world, and build the hive. So that is Apidea coming November 18th from Max Robbins. Melissa.
On November 19th, Junk Spirit Games is bringing Slip Strike. This is for 2 players, and it plays in about 10 to 15 minutes. This is a card game where you're playing as assassins, and you're trying to take out the other player. Basically, each player has 10 cards in their hand. They have the same deck and are positioned in different places on a kind of board-ish. They're cards, but you will simultaneously play cards to move and use weapons. And certain weapons, you need to be, like the knife, you have to be in the same spot as the other player. But a gun, maybe it's 1 spot away or 2 spots away. So you're trying to anticipate where the other player is going to move and try to play the correct weapon to be able to take out the other assassin. And as you play, certain locations are being removed from the board, and really you're trying to remember what they still have left in their hand and what you have left in your hand, and trying to outthink the other player. That's and cool. Guess where they're cool. Going
to
be.
I do remember one game Melissa and I were playing, and I thought Melissa was going to move to a certain location, but she thought I was going to move to the location I actually was moving towards. And she had her knife out ready for me there. So because you move first and then play the weapon cards. So I moved to location, and she's like, ha, played my blade and got me.
Nice.
Stabbed him.
Yeah.
So Kevin has a preview video for this, and it is Slip Strike from Junk Spirit Games, coming November 19th.
Is the illustrations on that, this like Junk Spirit has a pretty consistent look with a lot of their games. Is it the same thing or totally new?
Totally new.
Totally new.
Because their Junk Spirit games are very like earthy tones. And stuff like, this is like black, white, and blue. Like 3 colors.
Okay, interesting.
Really clean. Think spy theme.
Kind of like maybe the James Bond opening scenes where you have like the splashes of color.
All right, cool. Checking that one out.
Yep.
All right, Dan.
All right, November 18th, we have 1941 Race to Moscow. This plays off of the same type of mechanics as 1944 Race to the Rhine, if you've played that. But basically, you are kind of going through Operation Barbarossa as you control one of 3 different German armies racing to Moscow to try and win the war in the East. It looks like it's, you know, some people think it's more a war-themed pickup and delivery. Others that it's kind of a simple, not simplistic, but just lighthearted maybe. Not lighthearted, light.
lighthearted war theme game. Those are the best.
To that large scale military logistics, and that's kind of where this game centers. It's yes, it does have some combat, but it's a lot about making sure your tanks have gas, making sure your troops have ammo, as you're trying to beat the winter and make it to Moscow. So it looks like an interesting game for 1 to 3 players, 3.5 actually. So what? Basically, if you have somebody person? who maybe wants to jump in and play a little bit, or somebody younger, they can kind of play as the Automa, the AI, and each one of the 4 different armies has its own AI variant, so that you can play against each one of those in some format. But again, that's 1941, Race to Moscow, coming November 18th. Ryan, what do you have for us?
Yeah, coming November 20th from Braincrack Games is Venice. Not the city, but the board game. This is a game for up to 5 players that plays in an hour to an hour and a half. And you are merchants of Venice, and you're trying to become more influential while also avoiding suspicion from the local Inquisition. So apparently you can set assistant meeples around the board on different buildings, and if you pass a building, you can get resources from them. And it looks like they're like the really nice wooden blocks, like in Imhotep. Yes, it looks pretty cool. So you're on these gondolas navigating the canals of Venice, and you get bonuses or resources or whatever from wherever you have assistance that you pass, but you only get to take the bonus of a building, or I guess improve a building rather, where you land. And every time you pass another person's gondola, you gain more suspicion. So there are apparently other things in the game, like you can do nefarious activities with like thieves and spies and stuff to gain more suspicion, to get you more points. But at the end of the game, it's not whoever has the most points that wins. It's whoever has the most points without having the most suspicion. So the most suspicious person automatically gets snatched up by the Inquisition demanding their pound of flesh. Merchants of Venice reference right there. And then the next person actually wins. So it looks like it's going to be pretty cool. I like what they're doing here with the canals. And the pieces look nice with the meeples and the Imhotep type blocks on the little gondolas. I like those.
I don't know what those things are called, but the archways that they go under also look pretty cool.
Pretty cool components.
So definitely check it out. November 20th from Braincrack Games, Venice. Sarah, what do you got?
Another new game coming from Grail Games is Medici the Dice Game. This is a re-implementation of the original Medici game by Reiner Knizia. That one dates as a classic way back from 1995. And that one has a bidding mechanic that Knizia is known for, making some really good auction and bidding games. There is a card version that's already been published a few years ago, and now we have a roll and write dice game that Grail Games is publishing. Vincent Dutrait is the artist on this one, just like the previous couple of games.
Vincent Dutrait.
That's what I said. Vincent Dutrait. Make sure I say it correctly. I haven't gotten to see pictures of the roll and write paper, so I'm not really sure how all of the rounds will play. But it will be 3 rounds. There'll be 2 to 4 players, and you will be filling in your ships with goods that you will get from the wharf area. And then you get money for having the most valuable goods in your loads. And this one looks like a pretty great little dice game. I'm going to be interested in checking this one out. I really like the roll and write mechanic that's been being used in a lot of games right now. So checking out Medici, the dice game, and that is coming to Kickstarter from Grail Games on November 21st.
I think we should definitely put bids on what we think is going to be the next roll and write. Because obviously you just take a really good game from like 6 years ago, put dice and rolling write stuff into it, and then it's going to be super popular, right?
6 years ago. This is like 24 years ago.
Well, sure, that one. I'm talking about Lanterns and everything else that came out. So let's all go around and tell which game we want to see as a roll and write.
I was going to say, which game you want to see a roll and write? Because are you thinking like the roll and write, like what's the next hot
mechanic? No, I just mean what game is going to be transformed into a roll and write next. Okay. Like, is there already roll and write Monopoly? Because I feel like that's just a missed gold mine right there. The one that I actually want to see is roll and write Dead of Winter.
Mm. You can probably do that.
I think you definitely could.
That's a roll and write I might play. That sounds good to me.
So I actually heard at Essen there was Kingsburg, the dice game.
Oh, what? Wait, Kingsburg is a dice game.
So it's a dice game. Now it's a different dice game.
But is it Kingsburg basically like the roll and write version? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
It's kind of got to be since it already was a dice game.
The box is like a Don't Mess with Cthulhu box, like super small. So
Sarah's looking at the shelf. She's like, what do I want to see as a roll and
write? I got a long list here now.
Code names.
The roll and write? What?
Steam Court, the roll.
Yeah! You just got me really excited, Ryan.
Two that I'm not... One that I would love to see is Coal Baron, the roll and write game. I think there's already a card version of that, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
pretty not. Sure there is.
But I would like to... I love that one as a worker placement. I'd love to see that one.
Ticket to Ride, the roll and write.
I feel like I have inside information that I kind of want to share, but I don't know if it's top secret or not. I'll share it.
Don't share it.
I'll just say that I met someone at a convention semi-recently who showed me a roll and write they were working on and trying to pitch to a company. Okay. And it was based on a I cut you choose mechanic, but turned into a roll and write. It was pretty cool looking.
Cool.
I would love to see that become a thing because it had some new stuff going on.
Agricola, the roll and write version.
Right.
I was going to say Caverna.
But Agricola is better. So.
No, there's more choices in Caverna.
Can we do Castles of Mad King Ludwig as a roll and write?
I'm still pretty intrigued by the code names thing. I think if we could figure out a code names roll and write, we could all be very rich. So we're going to start working on that right now. Let's take a moment because Tina has foreign candies that I haven't yet sampled, and I feel like we definitely need to eat more on the show than we do typically.
That pack, what is that pack?
Give us the lowdown. What are we looking at here, Tina?
How to describe? So it has a heart center. So,
okay.
But there's like some caramel on top of it, and then it's covered all around in milk chocolate. So maybe not for Dan and me.
Man, what a sacrifice! Comes in, can't have the lactose, so still delivers deliciousness.
We're doing snack.
Snack of the week.
Snack of the week.
I'm totally trying one of these. It looks okay. So it's in a red wrapper. It's called. How do you pronounce that?
Daim.
Dime. It looks like a mini Butterfinger, at least at my initial onset.
Okay.
The crackling.
That's what I thought too when I saw the image.
Listeners are going to love us.
Somebody said Heath, and I think they might be the closest.
Heath bar. Very close.
But or mini score. Bite-sized.
Bite-sized.
Dan,
does it look super? Dan's leaving. He's like,
Dan's like offended over there.
He's getting the second bag of candy Tina brought with her from Germany.
Now this is the iconic Tina candy.
Oh, here.
Does this have a trans? I mean, is it just Nim? Is there like a
Nimsvai?
Does it mean
Nimsvai?
Take two.
Because it's two. Because it's two flavors, or what?
Because you can't stop at one.
There's two candies.
The very first one they started out with was a hard candy, and it only had two flavors. And that's why you would always take two, one of each. But now you have the soft version, and now it's all over the place.
And there's like four flavors in there.
Four, yeah, and because the way I mix them, it's eight.
Whoa.
I do have to say, we need some more candy like this one in the United States. It's like a taffy filled with Pop Rocks. Why doesn't that exist over here?
That is such a weird sensation.
Isn't it?
Is this your first time trying one of these?
No, but I've had the ones with like the jelly center recently.
The juice.
I haven't had one with the Pop Rocks.
Open your mouth right next to the microphone. Let's pick up the popping.
There's a third.
I think our viewing audience. Thank you, Ben.
The microphone's getting closer to his face.
So we have the Nim, which is like a candy within a candy. The Dime, which is another candy within a candy. Mm-hmm. Then we have the chocolate-covered Hallornkugeln.
Say that again.
That's actually pretty close.
Hallorenkugeln.
Hallorenkugeln.
Booze yep. within a candy.
It's booze within a candy. It's rum in there.
Yeah, chocolate rum.
But it's just candy Kugna. Rum. It's not. Mm-mm. So I can eat as much just as I want and then go six drive. Proof.
There's no actual alcohol in here. No, no worries.
There was four total chocolates, so or maybe seven. How many's in there? Well, thank you so much. Those were quite tasty. One other game that we got to play this week that we talked a little bit about last week, but I don't think we raved quite enough about it, was Darkseid Rising.
Yes!
Finally got that on
Star
the table.
Wars.
Yeah, so it's the Thanos Rising from the op, but reskinned with all new, cool, super great artwork. I don't. Did you get a look at it, Ryan?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't actually get to play. It does look like it's going to be pretty cool. I want to see how it compares to the other two because I have played the other two. So anytime you want to invite me over, let me know.
Will do. I was kind of drooling over it. The cool thing about the game is that it has both characters from the animated series as well as from like the main trilogy.
Oh, which one? The Clone Wars or Rebels?
The Rebels.
Rebels. So very it has cool. Characters that are in episode 4, 5, and 6 and
Rogue One.
Rogue One, yeah. And Rebels.
Very cool.
Yeah, so all the cool ships, all the cool weapons, all the cool people.
Which also means there's no Jar Jar Binks.
So
all the not cool people.
There's a lot of Star Wars going on. Disney Plus is coming out this week.
That's this week, isn't it?
Like the first time they've done a single player campaign Star Wars game is coming out on Farron's birthday.
Happy birthday.
So maybe we should just have like a big Star Wars night. You guys can teach me that game.
All right, we
can
probably make that happen.
Share some other Star Wars,
and then we can go watch the new one. When's that? Next month?
Ryan said he got Disney Plus.
When does the? So are you gonna just binge Mandalorian straight?
I would, but it's one episode at a time.
Ah, like, what?
Weeks apart.
Hey, how can they do that to
they
us?
They want to bring back so the kids nowadays are going to experience like we did, where you had to wait an entire week, the anticipatory. I can't even say it. Where you had to wait a whole week between the episodes. They're bringing that back.
It's close, but it's not that close because you had to like actually like sit be on the couch at 8 p.m.
right.
In front of the TV or you'd miss it.
And if you had to get snacks during commercials and you had to make it back in time.
Right. Now you're just like, oh, I'll just pause it.
Yeah. I'll wait till tomorrow. It'll still be there.
No commercials.
No commercials. Yeah, that's the beauty. The first time our kids have grown up solely on Netflix. Don't even have a TV in the house.
And YouTube.
Yeah.
So they do have some ads.
Barely. First time we visit my folks' house, like the show stops. They start showing the commercials. I can't remember what they called it.
I don't remember what they had a weird word for it, too.
They were like, Dad, why do they keep showing all these receipts? And I was like, you don't even know what the word for a commercial is. That's so amazing. I'm pretty sure it was receipts. It was something ridiculous. And I was like, that's how you decided to describe this? Oh, whole different generation. Don't even understand the struggles.
It's crazy.
Of having all the commercials memorized.
So a couple things about the Star Wars Darkseid Rising. Number one, it's not available in the U.S.,
Oh, thanks for being a party pooper, Kevin.
Well, the designer doesn't even have a copy yet.
Sorry, Andrew.
Poor Andrew Wolf.
Good guy. Yeah, no, not available. It is a European. They only have the European license, so you can't get it in the U.S.
So if you really want a copy, you have to talk to our intern.
You have to come to Tantrum Con and play it. You can't have our copy. Yeah, can we do that? Tina, can you like hook us up with like, what is that, aftermarket black? It's dark side anyway, so I feel like that's appropriate.
Dan, you want to say something over there?
Oh, I was just on the whole TV thing this weekend. I was watching some football, or trying to, and I'm over there like fiddling with the antenna. Did you guys ever do that? Like, there's an antenna taped to our window, and my daughter looks up and she's like, "Dad, what are you doing?" I was like, "That was my childhood." It's like you had to stand out there. Okay, can you see it now? No. And, you know, adjust it. And can you see it now?
Hold it right there. Yeah.
Okay, don't stand right there. Don't move. So, yes, she got the same kind of lesson.
I have another one. We only had two channels, right? And every time we would want to change the channel, Dad would nudge one, either me or my brother.
The remote control.
Go over there. Push the button.
Yes.
No remote control.
No.
Yeah, growing up, I did have one of the TVs with a knob where it would, I don't know how it made that much noise. Do you guys remember the like, ka-thunk? Like, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, the little tiny copper nickel knob or whatever. Ka-thunk, ka-thunk, ka-thunk. I'm on 28 now. Ka-thunk, ka-thunk. Like, so crazy.
I want a board game that gives you that same feeling of satisfaction of changing the funking channel.
Perfection.
Yeah.
With the timer that explodes.
That feels like commercial time. Like, get all the pieces back together before the commercial
ends up. Well, that's been fun. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Be sure to check out tantrumcon.com if you haven't looked at that recently. When does this go live? I don't want to tell you that we might have Black Friday sales, so if you haven't got your ticket yet, just wait. But then definitely get it. 2 weeks. Because we'll be doing a special sale on those. We've also got custom board game bags that are going to be very limited edition. You can only get them through that. I just had a guy reach out yesterday who said he wanted to get like two or three of them. He's not even coming to the con, but he liked the bags way better than the Dice Cower con bags. So he's now my best friend. And be sure to check that out. Learn all kinds of cool stuff about Tantrum Con. We have been working recently to get our tournaments set up and get our sponsors all lined up. It's getting bigger and better every day, and so I'm getting excited about it. Also, just a little bit of planning ahead. Ryan and I are going to be at PAX U in December.
That's right. The first weekend in December. I believe it ends on the 8th.
Yes, that
sounds good. Mm-hmm.
So if you are at PAX U, definitely come by, check Games Edition. We will be demoing games there, and maybe we'll catch you as we walk around the con. Come up, say hi. We'd love to get a picture with you. Maybe a side hug. No awkward hugs. <please. laughs>
That's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, right?
Side hugs can be anywhere.
Yes,
it's the city of brotherly love. Yes.
Oh, that's a good point. I got you. I see where you're going with that.
I mean, I'll make any hug awkward, but it'll be less awkward if it's a side hug. So. Side hugs.
Just do fist bumps with Ryan.
Yeah. Have right. you got a chance, Ryan, to check out the Sanctum secret inside info that they just
I sent have.
Us? It looks pretty cool. Yeah. I think maybe Melissa cool. already got the heads up. Did you get to play Sanctum at
I Gen actually Con? Did not. They only had, I think, one copy and it was a prototype. So they were showing it a lot, but I was usually on other games.
Like Letter Jam.
She was rocking it with the Letter Jam.
Yeah, well, I think, you know.
I think we might be demoing that one. I'm not sure how many copies they'll have, but I believe it is for sale at PAX. So we'll be checking that one out. Looks like pretty cool stuff. Lots of cool pieces in there. Looking forward to learning how to play that one. Okay, I think I talked enough. Thanks so much for joining us. Catch you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.